Well, today we're continuing our Christmas series that's titled Advent, a season of anticipation. Sorry, something in my throat there. But it's a series that's been walking us through this season of Advent. Now, as I've shared with you in the past, Advent actually means coming or arrival. That's the word, if you break it down, what it means in our text or in our context and in English. And so the focus of this season of Advent is to celebrate the birth of Jesus' first coming, his first arrival here on earth. But it's also a reminder of our anticipation of that second coming, when he comes back to take us home, to be with him for all eternity. And so, in keeping with the season of Advent, each week, we light one of the Advent candles up here. Now, there are five different candles represented up here. We've got two already lit that we've talked about. We've got the candle that represents hope, the candle that represents peace. We've got a candle that represents joy, one that represents love, and then the final, the similar candle, is the Christ candle that represents Christ himself, the one who brings all these things to us. And so, as I said 2 weeks ago, we started off with the first candle as we lit the hope candle. And we talked about the hope that we have in and through Jesus and the story that happened at Christmas time. And then last week, we lit the peace candle as we talked about the peace that Jesus gave to us as he left. He said, "Peace I give to you, peace I leave you." And so we talked about that. And then today, we're going to light the joy candle. And I asked Perry if he would come help me this morning, and we're going to let him come up here and light this third candle for us. And so this is the candle he's lighting. It's the only pink candle that's there. And don't ask me why. I haven't done enough studying on this, okay? But the pink candle represents joy and the joy that God desires for us to experience. It represents this miraculous joy that we can experience in this Christmas season. Thank you, Perry. All right. So today, as we light this candle, I think it's safe to say that joy is something all of us desire, right? All of us want to experience joy in our life. But the question is, where do we find that joy? How do we experience that joy? As we find ourselves in the middle of the Christmas season, there are many people who have been writing their Christmas wish lists, right? All those things that they want for Christmas. There's been people that have been waiting in line for hours, right? Trying to get the perfect gift, you know, for that special loved one. Waiting and hoping, right, with expectation that they get those things that they've been wanting. Whether that, for some people, you know, I don't know about anybody in here, but I know throughout our nation there's people that, you know, they hope for a new car, right? You know, you see those commercials, don't you always hope? You know, you walk out the front door and there's the car with the big giant bow on it, you know? I could use that right now. Yesterday my car threw a belt and I'm like, oh, great. It's power steering. I had to like, you know, just to turn and get back home without it overheating. And so I could use that right now. But, you know, whether it's a new car, whether it's a new computer, you know, fancy jewelry, the latest video games, I don't know, you fill in the blank. But as we seek all these things, as we desire all these things, what is it that we really want? What is it that people are looking for this Christmas? Is it happiness? Is it contentment? Is it joy? Are those the kind of things, do you think, that the angel was talking about when it said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people"? Are those the things that he was talking about? You know, it's like, I'm sure, you know, he probably said, "Hey, you shepherds, just wait, man. In a couple thousand years, the technology is going to be amazing around here, okay? There will be these things called tablets and iPhones and iPads and PS4s and iWatches. Can you believe that, right? Numerous other gadgets. And in that time, people will experience joy like they've never felt before. Do you think that's what the angel was saying to the shepherds? That's not what the angel was talking about. When we talk about joy from a biblical perspective, I can speak this morning. When we talk about joy from a biblical perspective, it goes beyond happiness. Because happiness is an emotion that we experience based off our circumstances, right? If things are good, then maybe we're happy. If things are bad, then we're not so happy. But joy is something that we can experience miraculously, supernaturally, regardless of our circumstances. And to talk about joy this morning, I want to take a look at a story involving two women who never imagined they would experience the joy that they did. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 45 this morning. Now, leading up to verse 26, I'm not going to read the first part of Luke. But leading up to verse 26, Zechariah and Elizabeth now have been told by an angel that they're going to have a son who will pave the way for the Lord, pave the way for the Messiah. Now, we know that this is John the Baptist, right? And so the angel has told them this, and they're in preparation of this. And so now, after that, we're going to pick up here in verse 26, where the angel now comes to visit Mary. And this is what it says. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to you as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, our story here begins with two women becoming pregnant who really shouldn't be pregnant, right? By the world's standards, Elizabeth, she was old beyond childbearing age and was barren. She hadn't had any children. She was considered barren. She thought that there was no chance she would ever in her lifetime have a child. And then Mary was a virgin. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. If you know what that means, you know it's literally impossible for her to be pregnant. Both of these pregnancies here were supernatural. They were the work of God. They were miracles. And these miracles brought amazing joy to both Mary and Elizabeth. Now, we read in the scripture, Mary travels to see Elizabeth once she learns that they're both pregnant. And I'm guessing the reason she does is because Mary probably believes Elizabeth can relate to her and what's going on, right? I'm guessing Mary could use some support right now. Think about this. I am a woman that's a virgin and I am pregnant, right? Who is going to believe me, all right? I'm guessing that she needed some support because this is amazing stuff, but it's pretty crazy stuff. And I'm wondering if perhaps this is why Gabriel told her about Elizabeth, knowing that she would need some moral support, someone to be able to go and to talk with, someone that would actually believe her, right? Because honestly, how many of us would have believed, oh yeah, you're a virgin, right? Yeah, right. Okay, I believe you. I mean, how many of us would have honestly believed her story? And so when she arrives at Elizabeth's house, something amazing happens here. In verse 44, Elizabeth says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." The child in Elizabeth's stomach actually leaped for joy, and it filled Elizabeth herself with the Holy Spirit and with this joy, this supernatural joy of the Lord. She realized that this child inside of Mary was no ordinary child. He was the Lord. He was the Messiah to come and to change the world. And Elizabeth here is humbled and overjoyed that Mary, the mother of the Lord, would come and visit her. And really the fact that God was there visiting her in that moment. And maybe at times we should feel a little humbled and joyful that God would actually visit us, that He cares about us, that He would come to us. The joy begins here with two women in impossible circumstances. One barren, past childbearing years, that would soon give birth to a child that would be the last of the old day prophets, John the Baptist, paving the way for the coming of the Messiah. The other, a virgin at the beginning of her childbearing years, who God made pregnant miraculously without the help of a man. And this child that she is about to give birth to would be the foundation of a new covenant, right? The Messiah that God had long ago promised to the world. Now the truth is, I believe all children are a gift, right? There's nothing more amazing for a parent than to experience the birth of their own child. Many people would say that the birth of any child is a miracle in itself. When you think about, wow, that is amazing how that all happened, okay? And if you don't know that, you can talk to your parents later, all right? But the birth of a child is a miracle. But how much greater of a miracle were these births that were seen here in Luke? Both of these pregnancies were impossible, both of them miraculous, but they were a part of God's plan for salvation. God was making it very clear that it's He who brings new things into this world. That salvation is not a result of man's effort. Yeah, I can get up here and I can speak and I can share the gospel, but salvation has nothing to do with me. It's God's hand reaching miraculously and mysteriously, think about that, into our world. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy when Mary greeted her. Something wondrous was at work. This baby knew it, right? Miracles were happening. God had broken the silence. If you remember me talking earlier, 400 years of silence. People hadn't heard God. And in this time, God has broken the silence. And through it all, He was creating joy for the world to experience. So through this story of Mary and Elizabeth and the miraculous place they found themselves, I just want to share with you three things this morning that I've learned through this story about joy. And the first is this. Joy is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. According to the Scripture, if you look later on, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Something that God brings about in the lives of those who seek Him, who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, who have accepted the gift. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, was then filled with joy. And Mary, if we were to keep on reading and go farther, in verse 47, she rejoiced at what God was doing. She says in verse 47, "My spirit rejoices, she says, in God my Savior." You see, rejoicing is simply joy directed towards God in worship, right? We rejoice when we come together here and worship the Lord. It's our joy directed towards God in worship. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells Nicodemus that a person must be born again by both water and spirit. And so these images of birth surround the message of salvation, right? You've got the birth of John, the birth of Jesus, and then the birth of new life that we experience when we accept Jesus, this gift that He gives to us. And all of these births bring us joy through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A joy that can only come from God Himself. It's a supernatural joy. John paved the way for the Lord, and Jesus brought the hope of salvation into this world. And that good news of salvation, the gospel, that's what the gospel means. It means good news, is cause for joy for anyone who will accept it. Who will accept that gift that's been given to us. And the question we have to ask ourselves is are we walking through this Christmas with joy in our lives? Have we accepted the gift that God's given us? These miracles that Elizabeth and Mary experienced were gifts from God. The miracle of joy and new life in Christ is a gift from God that He gives to us. Are we grabbing hold of that gift that He has for us? Because, as I've said, it's from Him. It's a gift from Him. And we have to receive that gift, right? We have to choose whether or not we're going to open it. You can give someone a gift, but they can look at it and go, eh, and throw it aside. And that's what many people do with the gift that God's given. Have we taken the gift? Have we opened it and received it? The first thing I've learned about joy is that it's a gift from God. And that's an exciting thing, right? Yes, awesome. But the second thing I've learned may not be as exciting. And that's because the second thing I've learned about joy is this, is joy is often accompanied by challenges. Mm-hmm. Whoopee, right? It's often mixed with adversity, right? It's often mixed with struggles and difficulties. But here's the thing. I think for us to truly understand joy, we have to first understand the adversity, the struggles. We have to understand sorrow. And this is definitely the case for Mary. Again, why do you think she needed to go and get moral support from Elizabeth? Right? Yes, she knew the joy of being used by God. Yes, as you will, Lord. But what about the social challenges that she was facing in the midst of this? You see, being pregnant before marriage was not cause for celebration in the Jewish culture. Yay, your daughter got pregnant and she's not married. It wasn't something they celebrated in the Jewish culture, okay? As a matter of fact, usually, if that happened, you'd be stoned to death. Okay? And I'm not talking like, okay? I'm talking like throwing stones at you until you died, all right? For a woman of her age to become pregnant outside of marriage should have meant death. Okay? How joyous is that? Yeah. Right? And then to think about that, so then go beyond that. Think about the fears and stresses of raising the Son of God. Right? I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I do something wrong? What if I mess him up? What if I teach him the wrong things? You know? Can you imagine the stress involved with having to raise the Son of God? This joy, this gift, came with what great challenges. But she willingly followed God's will and she walked in obedience. For us to know joy, we have to be willing to walk in obedience. We have to be willing to sacrifice like Mary did, to submit ourselves to the will of God, even if it doesn't turn out the way that we think it should. Because sometimes God calls us to do things that we never thought would bring joy in our lives. We start off going, oh, are you serious, God? And we never realize the joy that those things could bring to our lives. And I'll give you an example. Senior pastoring, all right? I talk about this all the time, but I never thought that I could enjoy doing what I'm doing today, senior pastoring, being a senior pastor. I always said, okay, I would go if God called me, all right? But honestly, I never thought He would. I thought I was going to be a youth pastor for life. That's why those songs and things in my head, you know, I think those weird things like I talked about earlier, and I'm thinking, I'm just youth pastor material. God would never take me. And I surely didn't think that if He did, that it would ever be something that I enjoyed. I'd be like, all right, I'll do it, God. If You call me to, I'll do it. But I'm probably not going to like it. Right? I mean, that's the thoughts that I had. But here's the thing. Now, I wouldn't change it for the world. And let me tell you, it's had its challenges, okay? As a matter of fact, Stacy and I went through some challenges right at the end of our first year. Some of the most difficult things we ever had gone through. Challenges that at times, honestly, made us want to just pack up and go back to youth ministry. Struggles that we just thought, really? Things being said about us that we're like, what? I don't need this. I mean, all of these things. And thankfully, God, in the midst of those, was showing me a glimpse of joy. But one night, as we were finding ourselves kind of finally coming to the end of that time, that the real struggling stuff, where we were kind of starting to find ourselves on the other side, my wife and I were lying in bed, and she asked me a question. She said, if God were to say to you, okay, you know, you've been obedient, you've been faithful, you've done what I've asked you to do, so now if you want to go back to youth ministry, you have my blessing. What would you do? And I think my answer surprised my wife that night because I said, no, I wouldn't go back. Because even though the past 6 months had been some of the toughest, challenging times in my life, I was experiencing joy in knowing what God was doing in the lives of those that were still in this church. There were some amazing stories happening in the lives of some of the people that actually are in this room today, and I'm not going to center them out. But God pulling people out of darkness, God restoring people, God healing people. And God was using an uneducated, goofy, immature youth pastor to draw people back into His presence. And despite the challenges and difficulties, His joy was my strength. His joy was what got me through that. When I looked and I saw, if the only reason I'm here is for that person, then it's worth it. If the only reason I'm here is for that person, then it's worth it. His joy was my strength. You see, God calls us to obedience, and as we walk out obedience, the result is a supernatural joy in circumstances and things we never thought we could experience that kind of joy in. Listen to what Dwight L. Moody says. He says, "Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives His people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to Him." Joy is a byproduct of obedience. It's also a byproduct of successfully facing the challenges that God may bring your way, because God's going to bring challenges. He's going to allow those challenges to happen to see how are you going to handle it. And when we successfully navigate, the joy, that's what I was experiencing as I laid in that bed that night. I was realizing we're on the other side. I was realizing, you know what, the lives that were changed, the joy of coming through those challenges and difficulties. Because God's call will bring challenges and difficulties. God never promises us that following Him is going to be easy. And anyone that says, "Oh, give your life to Jesus, everything will just fall into place," it doesn't, okay? Let me just tell you. I've been serving God for a long time now. 38 years. And it doesn't just fall into place. There's challenges and there's difficulties, but we can experience joy in the midst of those times. We know that it's not going to be easy because the Scripture says what? Take up your cross daily. And if you are aware of what that means, then you know it's going to be challenging. But as we faithfully press on and through the challenges and allow God to be our strength in the midst of them, it's then that we find joy in and through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's supernatural. It's something that the world doesn't understand. A joy deeper than any joy that the world may give us. It's the kind of joy that enables us to face life and sustains us through whatever challenges we may go through. I've learned that joy is a gift from God. I've learned that it's often accompanied by challenges. And I've also learned this, that joy is something that we're supposed to share. It's interesting that God chose two women that were related. As I mentioned earlier, Mary most likely went to see Elizabeth for support, right? They could share their experiences and they could walk through this journey together. It meant that neither of them had to be alone in these unusual circumstances. Plus, this connection of being together brought them both joy, right? There is a joy that we experience when we know that we're not alone. When we know that someone's got our back. When we know that there's someone we can talk to or connect with in the midst of circumstances. There's a joy also in knowing that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. Bigger than what's going on in our little compartment, right? These births were not about Mary and Elizabeth. They were about what God was doing in and through them to establish His kingdom. And neither Mary nor Elizabeth could contain the joy they felt in being a part of it, in that connection, in this relationship that they shared. And I think the same is true for us. The joy God gives us is a joy we're called to share with others, not to hold on to it. You know that old song, "This is the light of mine, I'm going to let hide it under a bushel"? No. Right, I'm going to let shine. Why? To share with other people. We're called to share. And the cool thing is this, is sharing joy is a lot different than sharing a candy bar. Some of you are looking at me going, "What the heck is he talking about?" I hate sharing candy bars, okay? And here's the reason why. You got a candy bar, you break it in half, you hand it to someone else, and I am now eating half a candy bar. right? I like my candy bars, okay? And I'm not good at sharing my candy bars like I should be. But when you share a candy bar, you only get half of it. And it's like, I wanted all of it. And I'm kind of joking around here, but the thing is when we share joy, we don't get half joy after that, right? Our joy increases the more we share it, the more we give it away. And so the question is, are we sharing it? Christmas is a reminder of the gift of joy that was given to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Just His presence caused John to leap for joy in his mother's womb. When was the last time we leaped for joy? When we got so excited about something. The last time we heard news so wonderful, so incredible that we couldn't contain the joy. We felt we just had to let it out. Because that's the kind of joy that God gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I really wanted to show you a video today, but it was inappropriate for church. It's a Saturday Night Live sketch, okay? And 75% of it was okay, but there were, well, I would say like 90% of it's okay, but there's that 10% of just a few little words and things that I bought. No, I can't show it to you. But some of you may be familiar with this sketch, but it's the sketch where this man is beginning to share about wanting to throw a surprise party for his daughter. And one of the Saturday Night Live characters all of a sudden is like, surprise, surprise. She gets like all excited, like she loves surprises. And she's just like, oh my God, oh yeah, oh I love it. And balloons, oh, you know, and she's just like going crazy. And like, what is wrong with you? I love surprises. Oh, I love surprises, right? So there's this whole part that goes on in the sketch about that. Well, they're going on and they're looking at her like she's crazy, but it's like she's just got this exciting thing she just can't hold in. Well, then the daughter walks in that they're going to do the surprise party for. And everyone's like, oh, we're doing nothing. And she's like, you know, she's just sitting there. She's like, no surprise, balloons, no, tomorrow, no, nah, you know, and she's like doing this whole thing, trying not to blurt out this secret, right? And the funny thing is, you know, in the sketch, she finally grabs a vase that's there and cracks herself over the head to knock herself out so she doesn't blurt out this secret that she has, right? But the reality is we all have a secret that needs to be blurted out. It's not something for us to keep in because a lot of times we hide this secret, we hide it under the bushel. And the song says, no, all right? Hide it under a bushel. No, we got to let out the secret. We got to be willing to say and let people know. It's a secret that has the power to change lives forever. Do you really want to hold on to that secret? God wants us to share it with everyone. Like the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For everyone. Good news of great joy. That's what this season is all about. And that's why John leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Does the good news of Jesus Christ still bring you great joy? Does the Holy Spirit fill you with joy? Have you, like Mary and Elizabeth, made yourself available for this joy through a life of obedience to Christ? Are you willing to face the challenges that a life with God will bring if it means experiencing supernatural joy? A joy that only God can bring to our lives. Just as He brought the gift of His Son into the world 2,000 years ago. I hope that you are experiencing the joy of the Lord as we walk through this Christmas season. And I hope that your joy isn't limited to what's in your stocking or underneath the tree, right? Because a lot of people in this world, that's what their joy is limited to. I hope that it's a supernatural joy that changes your life. Not just for this Christmas season, but it changes your life forever when you realize what it means. Eternity with Christ. Eternity forever with Him. And let me just say this. If for some reason you doubt that a joy like this is even possible, don't forget what Gabriel said to Mary. For nothing will be impossible with God. through God, in the midst of whatever we're facing, we can experience His joy through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this word and the reality, Lord, that You want to pour into us a supernatural joy. And Lord, the reality is it's not a joy that changes our circumstances. It's a joy that enables us to rejoice in the midst of our circumstances. It's a joy that comes from knowing that we're not alone. It's a joy that comes from knowing You're with us. You are our strength. It's a joy from knowing that we may be facing difficulties at this time, but there is hope. There is hope to get to the other side. There is hope to make it through these challenges, to make it through this season or time that we're going through. And in that, we can find joy. And so, Lord, I just pray for each of us as we continue to walk through this season of Christmas with the stresses and the difficulties and challenges that our world has brought upon this season. May we be able to push those aside and experience Your joy, Lord. Even if there's things that we know we've got to get done, even if there's things that we worry about, even if there's things that we're not sure we can even do, in the midst of this season and these times, Lord, may we draw upon Your joy, a supernatural joy that comes from You and only You, Lord. May we stir up Your Spirit in our life to allow the Holy Spirit to give us that joy that the world does not understand, that joy that can only come from the God of this universe, the Creator of all mankind. And so, Lord, I pray that we tap into that joy this Christmas season, that we experience joy in ways we've never experienced it before, Lord. I thank You so much for Your love for us. I thank You so much for what You did for us, the gift that You gave us of Your Son that brought this joy to each of us. May we grab hold of it. May we accept that gift, Lord. Let us not be people who throw that gift aside, but let us be people who tear into that gift with anticipation and excitement of the joy that You want to give us this Christmas season. We thank You. We praise You for these things. We give them to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.